We would like to thank Karen and Jacob Levis for sponsoring this morning's locks from Eloy Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah bas Avram. Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay, so we are on to a new Mishnah. Same person, new Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva tells us, we're going to jump in straight to source number one. We have some heavy topics, not like the other ones aren't so heavy, but this one's particularly heavy. We're going to discuss we're going to have a discussion about whether or not we have free will and the fact that God knows what's going to happen, if that impairs our ability to choose freely. So here's the Mishnah, source number one, Avos chapter 3, Mishnah 15. This is Rabbi Akiva. Hakol tzafui, varishus nesuna, uvituv ha'olam nidon, vakoluf yirov ha'masa. So I broke down into four different segments. They are connected. Hakol tzafui, everything is. How would you translate tzafui? It's what? Expected. Somebody, what did you say? Hidden. Another possibility. Tzafun, tzafui. Okay, so hakol tzafui, either everything is foreseeable, or perhaps, we'll see, is everything hidden. And then the parallel to that, or the follow-up to that, is v'harishus nisuna. We have the ability to choose. The ability to choose is given. And then the second part, two parts, which we'll get to it towards the end, we're not going to connect it to the first two yet. V'tuva olam nidon, the world is judged with goodness. V'kol lefi rov hamasa, everything is about action, doing. So let's start with the first two. Hakol tzafui v'harishus nisuna. We'll get the one interpretation out of the way, and that's Rashi. Rashi says, "Hakol tzafui kol ma sha'adam oseh b'chedrei chadarim tzafui v'galu lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu." So tzafui does mean seen, but Rashi does tie it to a concept of things that are hidden. Meaning, obviously, God sees everything. So what are you teaching me? The Mishnah knows that even though the Mishnah doesn't say God, right? It's the subject without it being explicitly stated. Hakol tzafui, everything is seen. So you might have thought that when you're alone in a room and nobody's watching, that nobody knows. Obviously, that's not true from a religious perspective. Hakol tzafui, God sees everything that goes on, even with the doors closed. And then, Varashus Nesuna Rashi says, B'yado shaladim lasos. We have ability to choose. We can do. We can perform. Shenemar reina sati lefanacha hayom. Esachayim esatov brings it to a pasuk in the Torah. You have the ability to choose life or death, good and bad. As a mavas esara, tibacharta b'chayim. The hope is that we choose the life and the good side. Now, I do want to be annoying for a second and focus on the word that Rashi uses. Is biyado shel adam? What's the word? Laasos. So what does la'asos mean? To do. So just keep that in your back pocket for a little bit. Why does he say la'asos, to do? Does that mean we only have the ability to choose doing? Do we have the ability to choose thinking? Do we have the ability to choose emotions? Do we have the ability to choose other things? Why is the focus on la'asos? So just keep that in mind as we go forward. Rashi hasn't introduced any philosophical concepts. The fact that we have the ability to choose is pretty simple. The Rambam is where we start introducing the problems. So here we go. Source number two. The Rambam says, "Zeh ma'amar kolal inyanim gedolim ma'od." This statement, you might not have realized it, but has a ton of heavy, big topics included in it. "V'lo yu dvarim kemo elu elo Rabbi Akiva." This is a big guy for a big statement. Rabbi Akiva is the one who said it. Vizeh perusham bekitzor, and he says, I'm going to explain them quickly and briefly here. And we'll see in other places he doesn't do it as briefly or quickly. But zeh perusham bekitzor. Uvitznai shabanas mashakadam beprakim hakodmim. He says, there's a condition here. I'm going to give you a little bit of a snippet, but don't be lazy. Right? I talk about this in detail in a number of other places. So make sure you look those up. Right? Amar. So this is what he says. Kol ma sheba'olam yadua etzlo yis'ale v'hu masigo. Everything that happens in this world, God knows. He understands it. He gets it. And that's what it means, everything is foreseen. God knows everything. But afterwards it says, don't think that just because God knows, and again, focus on this word for a second, ha-pe'ulos, what's ha-pe'ulos? The action. Just because God knows what's going to happen, yischayev ha-hecher, don't think that that means that it's going to automatically happen. This is a little bit confusing. God knows it's going to happen, but don't think that therefore it has to happen that way, or that you have to perform that action. Everybody has free choice. And that's what the Mishnah says. Choice is given. Everybody has the ability to choose on their own. Like I explained in the 8th parak of Shemona Prakim. And as he's going to explain now, as we're going to see in source number 3 from Hilchos Tshuva. But here's a famous problem in Jewish philosophy, and that is, if God knows everything, and He knows what's going to happen, He knows what I'm going to do, He knows the next word that's going to come out of my mouth, did I really have the ability to choose what that thing that I'm about to do? Do I have free choice? God knows it already. Is it determined because He knows it? This is a question. So let's see how the Rambam deals with it. There's a ton of literature on this. If you want, I'll give you a source to look up if you're interested. There's a book that was just recently put out by Rabbi Natanael Wiederblank. He's a rabbi up in YU. And the book deals with a number of interesting topics in Jewish philosophy. It's called Illuminating Jewish Thought. There's going to be 3 volumes. This first volume is actually the second of the 3. They published it out of order. So this first volume that was published, i.e. the second volume in the order, is about free will. A big chunk of the book is free will. And he also talks about Mashiach and the afterlife. And he goes through a number of different approaches to answer this question throughout Jewish philosophy, but we're not doing that now. The goal today is not to give you 8 different ways to resolve this question. We're going to give you a few different ways to resolve the question, all sourced in Pirkei Avos. So we're not going to give sort of like an expansive view, but we do want to see what the Rambam is referring to, because he did allude to the fact that he speaks about this in other places. So let's look at source number 3, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, briefly. Yeah.
You just use the word, that's something that's determined.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between predetermination.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about. There might not be such a big difference, right? That's the question. The question is there a difference between the fact that God knows something and the fact that I'm going to do that action, or I have free will to do that action? Okay, so this is not, if you've ever had a shiur on this topic before, this is what they talk about. So there's answers to the question. We're just going to go through some of the classic explanations, as well as some interesting ones that the commentators of Pirkei Avos address and deal with. For those who remember, this was, I believe, the first lunch and learn that I did when I was an intern. So the Bradmans were definitely there. This was, you remember this? Okay. Lunch and learn in Saver. We had a lunch and learn on free will. And this was, we didn't talk about everything here, but we talked about some topics related to this. So now, it's a good 8 years ago. 3, Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, Perakei, Halacha Hei. So Shema Tomar, Valo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Kol Ma Shiyia, V'Kodim Shiyia Yada Shezeyia. So maybe you're going to say that God knows everything that's going to happen. He knows it before it's going to happen. And He knows I'm going to be Tzadik or Rasha, or Lo Yada. So does He know that I'm going to be righteous? Does He not know I'm going to be righteous? Am I going to be wicked or not? Im Yada Shiyia Tzadik, if He knows, Yev Shar Shalo Yia Tzadik, then there's no capability of me not being a tzaddik. So if God knows I'm going to be righteous, then I can't not be righteous. I have to be righteous. Ve'im tomar sheyeda sheyed tzaddik, v'efsha sheyed rasha, arei lo yada adav ra'al borya. Again, if He knows it already, then I have no choice but to follow that path. I might not realize that, but if that's what's going to happen, that's obviously the path that I'm going to choose. So da shetshuba she'ela zu arucha me'eretz mida v'rachav mineyam. So the answer is very long. It's very difficult. It's very wide. It's very spread out. The kama ikarim gedolim v'ra'im ramim tuluyim ba. And there's a lot of essential factors that are dependent on this question. About tzarech atal leida ulahavin b'davar zeh shani omer. But you must understand this. Now, remember that, because you must understand this. You have no choice but to understand what he's about to say. Although, it's going to be a little bit hard to understand. Okay, so kvar be'arnu, v'perek sheni mehilchos yisodei haTorah. So we spoke about this in the second parak of Hilchos Yisodei haTorah. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu einu yodea mideya shehi chutz mimenu, kivnei adam shehem v'datam shnayim. So God's knowledge is not the same as human knowledge. So we use the term knowledge, and then we project our understanding of what knowledge is, and saying that God knows. But it's not the same thing. Ella, hu yisala shmo v'daito echad, v'ein daito shel adam yichol lahasik davar zeh. God and his knowledge are one, and man can't comprehend this. We can't fully understand this concept, al borya, to its fullest extent. Ukeshem shein koch ba'adam lahasik v'limso amitas habore. Since we can't fully understand God's truth, God, the essence of what God is, shenemar ki lo yireni adam b'chai, nobody can see me and live. Kach in koch ba'adam lahasik v'limso daito shabore. Same thing, you can't fully understand God. Husha Navi Amar, that's what the Navi says. Ki lo machshavosai machshavoseichem, v'lo darcheichem darchai. We read this on fast days. My knowledge, God says, is not like, my thoughts are not like your thoughts, and my ways are not like your ways. V'kevan shekein, hu ein banu koach leida, heach yada kadosh baruch hu kol haburim v'amasim. We can't possibly understand how God already knows everything. Aval, that Gimel skip that. Aval, neida, below suffix shemaisa adam biyada adam. We know that we have the ability to choose our actions. Beinah Kadosh Baruch Hu moshcho v'lo gozer alav lasos kach. And God does not draw us to an action, nor does He decree that that action needs to take place. V'lo mipnei kabbalas hadas bilvad noda davar zeh. Not just because this is a tradition that we have, that we just need to accept the fact that God gives us free will. Ella b'rayos b'ruos m'divrei chachma. We can prove it through philosophical proofs, through wisdom. It's clear that we have free choice. U'mipnei zeh nemar b'nevuah shedanenes ha'adam al ma'asav k'pi ma'asav im tov im ra. And that's why we have statements that you are judged. How can you be judged if I don't have free will? V'zehu ha'ikr shekol divrei ha'nevuah tluyim bo. And all prophecy, all mitzvos, he says in other places, are dependent upon this idea that we have free will. So the Rambam basically asks the question, and the question is, does he answer the question? He says, it's obvious and clear that God knows everything, and it's obvious and clear that we have free choice, and too bad, right? Does it make sense? No. But that's it. So if you look in source number 4, the Ravid takes him to task. So the Rabbi quotes the Rambam and says, because of that, we have no ability to understand anything that God really does. So Amar Avram. So the Rabbi says, Lo nahag zeha mechaber minag hachachamim. So the Rabbi was very sharp. He says, the Rambam didn't do something that smart people do. She'ein adam matkel b'davar v'lo yada lahashlimo. You can't start something that you can't finish. Right? You're starting a problem. You're asking this question that can't be answered. Then why are you asking it? So the Ravid understands the Rambam that he asked the question and didn't answer it. That the question still stands. You shouldn't have asked it in the first place. You're asking a question that's ikr, that's essential, that's so fundamental. And then you don't answer the question. Just don't ask it in the first place. You're creating all these problems. You have to, for thousands of years after this, people are going to be giving shirim, trying to understand this. Just don't ask the question. Nobody's going to ask it. That's it. V'ulai sha'akas yabo hira b'libam al zeh. And he says that maybe because you didn't give a real answer to the question, people are going to start thinking, huh, maybe God doesn't know everything. Or maybe I don't really have free will. Now that the Rambam pinned these two against each other, and according to the Ravid said, I don't understand how this works, so now maybe somebody's going to be like, oh, maybe it doesn't really work. So the Rambam's opening up a box that he can't close, and that it's creating a lot of problems. It was better that he didn't open it in the first place. And then the Rebbe does a classic move here. V'afal pi she'ein tshuva nitzches al zeh, tovu lismach lo ptzat tshuva v'omer. Because even though there's no real answer, I'm going to try to give you an answer. So the Rebbe says, you shouldn't have asked the question because there's no answer. But now that you already asked the question, I'll try to give you an answer. And we're not going to go through his answer because it's not important for now. But he says, once the Rambam asks the question, I can try. But he leaves it off and says, I don't really fully, you know, get this. It's not really a good answer. So the question is, did the Ravid really understand the Rambam? Was the Rambam not answering his question, or was the Rambam answering his question? Right? So the Ravid says the Rambam didn't answer the question. But if you look, give me one more minute. If you look in the Medrash Shmuel in source number 5, he says something. He says that the Rambam actually did answer his question. And with this, we'll try to fully.
The Rambam said that the Rambam didn't answer the question. Why is that important? More important than what the Rambam gives
us an answer. Why is he? Because he's saying the Rambam shouldn't have asked it in the first place. Right? But now you read it, so everybody has the question. So we'll try to give you 10, 15 different answers that answer the question. But I'd rather you have not asked it in the first place. Right? Okay, so now look at the Medrash Shmuel, source number 5. Ulefi pshat divrei Rambam, nira shelo hitir asafik, rak tirek shadam chayev lahamim b'shnei advarim. So he says, if you read the Rambam quickly, it seems that the Rambam didn't answer the question and just left it as two contradictory statements that you just have to believe. You just, right, so if that's the way you understand Rabbi Akiva. Right, according to Rashi, Rabbi Akiva is not talking about divine foreknowledge. Right, Rabbi Akiva is only saying God knows everything. You have free will. Not God knows everything. God knows everything that you do. It's not talking about foreknowledge. According to Rashi, God knows everything that you do, even bechadrei chadarim, even in private, and you have free will to choose. According to Rashi, there's no philosophical question here. This is just God knows what happens. So Rabbi Akiva might not have been talking about this. The Rambam says Rabbi Akiva was talking about it, but he might not have been talking about it. Just give me 2 minutes, and then we'll ask away if it still doesn't make any sense.
That's the Rashi. He's translating himself away from the word to see, and not to know or anticipate.
Okay, yeah. He sees what happens. Not. He sees as it's happening or after it happened. Rashi might not deny the fact that God knows everything in the future, but that's not what Rabbi Akiva is saying according to Rashi. So now, Medrash Shmuel, source number 5. Lufi pshat divrei Rambam, nira shelo hitir asafik, rak tirei she'adam chayev lahamin b'shnei advarim, af im heim sosrim zeh lazeh. You have to believe both of these things, even if they contradict each other. V'chayev lahamin shuyis baruch yodea asidos. You have to believe that God knows what's going to happen in the future. V'gam shiyadiyaso eino machreches es ha'adam. And you also have to believe that the fact that he has knowledge about it doesn't force me to act in that way. Amnam, ha'adam eino masig yadiyaso, eich hi kol hi l'malo misechal anoshi. But man can't comprehend this. V'ani omer she'ein kan kushik klal. He says, I don't think this is a question. Medrash Shmuel says, I don't think the whole thing's a problem. Lefisha filu imye ms shashem isbarach yodea miyom holedes adam imye tzadik or rasha. Even if God knows from the moment somebody is born whether or not they are going to be righteous or wicked, ein, the fourth line, ein hakavana shemipneze ye adam muchrach. Doesn't mean that you have to do that. Vizel lefisha shashem isbarach hu mabit lesof davar bekadmo. So God can see everything. In from the beginning, we say that in Yigdal, b'chol ma'ashi ya'avor al ha'adam ad moso hakohu lefanav. Everything's before God. Umi es tchilas yidiaso mani az raz ha'adam meis muto lefanav. It's almost as if like God sees your whole life in front of you. It's like you're already dead. He knows everything that's going to happen. Re'e b'med b'char kvar, and he knows what you're going to choose. Ki hu yisbarach eino tachas hazman. So he adds an element here. God's not under the concept of time. We live in the present, so we can't see the future. God doesn't live in any time factors, right? He's lamala min azman. He's above time. Past, present, future is all at once for God. Below shayach, third to last line, bei kedima v'ichor. There's no past or future. Imkein, ma'ashi'ira eno gzeira mi'ito yizbar chas v'shom. The fact that God quote-unquote knows what's going to happen obviously isn't a gzera, a decree that that's what has to happen. He just knows because, again, everything is at once for God. So he sees it because there's no time factor involved. It's all happened. It all happened. It's all like, it's there. It already happened. So the Medrash Shmuel says that's why he doesn't think this is a problem in the first place. Because everything for God is not past, present, future. It's just there. So then, and this is the kicker, he says, V'achar kach matzati la'rav Rav Moshe al-Mosnino, Shepiresh kizeh ateres ba'as v'kivet ha'rabam. So the Pirkei Moshe, Rav Moshe al-Mosnino, says that this is what the Rambam meant. L'yor le'imek ha'dvarim shal ha'rabam, ki behevda l'idiyaso yusparach midiyaso, hitira safek mi'ikar le'mevinim. That's what the Rambam was saying. The fact that our knowledge isn't God's knowledge is that same idea. That we think past, present, future. God just has everything at one time. So the fact that God sees it or knows it doesn't mean that we have to do that. It's just a fact that we don't understand because our mind doesn't work like that. We work in temporal sequences of past, present, future. According to God, it just all happened. So therefore, this is sort of what you were saying before, that just because it was pre-knowledge, known by God, doesn't determine what we do. If you like this answer, keep it, take it, fine. It's not so simple. It's more complicated because everything's more complicated than it has to be. Not everybody agrees with this type of answer. Some people have to give a different answer, and some people give a third answer, and a fourth answer, and a fifth answer. My goal as of my goal in the next few minutes, I'll take a few questions. We're going to see a few more answers, and then we'll move forward past this. Do I want to take questions? I'm not sure I want to take questions. I am going to take an executive decision here and pause questions. Write them on the side. I'm a little bit under the weather, and I'm not sure my brain can handle everything right now. So, statements are the same.
I want to see if I understand.
Okay, yes.
I mean, what I was understanding the Rambam, and maybe now what is Midrash Shmuel said, is that you have a right to make a decision.
Correct.
Right? And that's your free will. Hashem, because we don't understand his machshava, we don't understand the way his mind works, he knows what the decision will be. He's not part and parcel to that decision.
Right. He's not controlling your decision, right. He just knows what it's going to be.
But he knows what the decision will be, so then there's no...
No contradiction. Yeah, that's the basic answer. Okay, we'll do questions. Paula. How can I say no to Paula? What? Yeah.
God provides the choices and is waiting for you to select one.
Okay.
The choices are provided by God.
The choices are provided, but he doesn't... The choice, good. Okay, so we'll actually see some... That's not what we said until this point. We'll see something similar to that in a moment. According to that understanding, are you saying that God doesn't know what you're going to choose?
He knows. He's waiting for you to choose.
Does he know it or he doesn't know it?
He doesn't.
Okay, fine. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see something interesting in a moment that's related to that. Yes and yes, and then we're going
to
move on.
I want to go to
louder.
It's all theoretical.
Yeah.
Let's take the story of the egg. Just see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that something like this may happen. He knew also it's a point what Moshe Rabbeinu will do to beg for Slicha. And Hashem says to him, Salachti Kitvarecha. I know in advance, and I Salachti Kvar, but I expected from you to pray and to do whatever you did. So Hashem, the whole thing was planned already and knew by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the choice was Moshe Rabbeinu to pray for them or not. He said yes, and he did it. Hashem tzipa v'kibel mashu kibel.
Right. Even though we're saying it's like so obvious, it's really not that obvious, right? Because the reason why the Rambam struggles with this and why everybody struggles with this is because once God knows it, then I can't choose anything else. If God knew that Moshe was going to pray, even though Moshe didn't realize that God knew that, Moshe couldn't have then at the last second like switched it and be like, okay, now I'm not going to pray, right? Because God knew that he was going to pray, right? So the answer, again, the answer is God doesn't force it. He just knows it because there's no time bound and we don't fully understand how his thoughts work. But it is a question. Yeah.
We have fact one. God does know everything.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Right? No dispute. We have fact two.
Well, there are those who dispute it, but yeah, okay. Well, we're not going to get into that now, but yeah. Okay.
Fact two, creating human beings with free will to choose to do whatever they want. Hashem may know what my
debatable
choices will be, okay, but I don't know what he knows or when he knows it, it doesn't make a difference. That he knows doesn't remove my free will. I still have the free will. Look, it's sort of like when I was a kid, we would play this game. I really wanted to annoy somebody who was annoying you, and then say, oh, I knew you were going to say that. Oh, really? I knew you were going to say, oh, really? Oh, really, really? I could go on and on like that.
Right.
So that kind of foreknowledge is not the same.
Right. So I just want to point out, just for interest point of view, not for delving into it, there are those who don't take the Rambam's two axioms as fact. Right? The Rambam says that number one, God knows everything, and number two, we have free will. Within Jewish thought as well, there are those that say, again, I'm not going into it, I'm just going to open up the box and not close it, that God doesn't know everything that's going to happen. They limit God's foreknowledge. And there are those that say that we don't actually have free will. You might think you have free will, but you don't. So you could go in either direction. It's not mainstream. It's not really accepted. But you do find that spectrum within Jewish thought as well. But we're going to assume that the two are true for now. I want to see... Oh, hold on. I want to see sources 6... Yes. I knew you were going to ask a question. And I also knew I was going to give in. So that's a different discussion, right? That's a different discussion. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. That's whether God can do. That's how God intervenes in the world. We're not talking about God intervening. We're talking about God's knowledge and our action. So that could, all of that fits in with this. God could have known it, and we had free will, or they had free will to do whatever they wanted. That has nothing to do with God intervening or not intervening in the world. Okay? So I'm going to bypass that question for now. All right, now, source number 6, the Yavetz. The Yavetz has a slightly different approach. You flip the page. He says, "V'afal pi shehem nechuchim lemeivin ve'ein safek etzli bahem ledati lo kiven atana v'kan liyidiyaso yisbarach advarim ve'ese yosam ki kol ha'torah v'neviyim meleim mizeh." So the Yavetz starts off by saying, I don't think that the point of this Mishnah is to tell us that God knows stuff. Right? I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that God knows things. That's the basis of Judaism. It's the basis of Tanakh. God knows things. I know God knows things. So what do you need to tell me a kol tzapu? That can't be what the Mishnah means. Aval ma she'echshov b'kavana satana hu zeh. This is what I think the Mishnah is talking about. Ein safek sheharkavas ha'adam u'mezgo va'es asher nolad mevo gadol le'pu'ulosav. There is no question that my nature, my temperament, my genetics, if you will, as well as the time that I was born, are a mevo gadol. They are, how would you translate mevo gadol? They're a starting point. They get you off in a direction to how you're going to act. Basically, my genetics and my birth environment and my fact where I was raised, the time period that I was raised, etc., are going to, I don't want to use the determine, but they are going to heavily influence how I am going to act later on in life. Kimosha Amru, and the corollary of this is Gemara and Shabbos, Haiman de b'ma'adim yehe ashid adama, Haiman de b'tzedek yehe geber tzedek, Amru of Nachum v'tzidkam b'mitzvos, right, so there's a concept in the Gemara based on either it's meant to be taken literally or metaphorically, based on astrology, that depending on where you're born, it's going to affect your character, where the stars and the moon are factored. Aval im kol zeh mitzad nafsho shel adam shilamala min hagalgalim. Right, but at the end of the day, all of that can factor in, can heavily influence where you're going to be, but we have the ability to overcome that. We're above those factors. So, yuchal limshol al chomro. We can overcome our genetic predispositions. I'm putting modern language into what he's saying. We can overcome our genetic predispositions or our childhood. V'livchor haderech ha'yishara. And choose the right path. V'kol shekein may shehir einav b'milchamta shel Torah, especially somebody who has the privilege of being able to be learned in Torah, again, has a head start to overcome the environment and the biology that they were born with. Aval, underline this if you are skeptical of human nature. Aval, rov ha'anashim nisharim al tiv'am. Most people stay with their nature. I'm born this way. I was raised this way. This is the rest of the audio from the live shiur was distorted. So I will briefly recap the rest of the shiur. So we're in the middle of talking about the opinion of the Yavetz. And he said that most people follow their teva, and they just go based on what they are born with or how they were raised. Continuing in the Yavetz of Arov Anashim Yisharim Al Tivam Vehim Polim Kefi Hachanasam, they go based on what they were pre-prone to do. V'yesh Mehem Shosifu Shleimus Mitzad Bechirasam Amas Shahaya B'Hachanasam V'yesh Achirim Gam Kein Osifu B'Da'atam Yoter Al Hachanatam. There are those that overcome and change and can be above what they were predestined or prone to do. V'yesh Misha Shana Hachanasam Yitov L'Ra. There are those that can change that from good to bad. V'yesh Misha Asa B'Hefech She'Mashal Yitzro Hatov Al Yitzro Hara. There are those that can conquer the bad by being good. Aval Elu Me'ate HaMispar. They are small in number. Va'el Yisparach Tzofe U'Mabit Ad Sof Kol Hadarot Koma She'efshar Shiyeh Kefi Tevel Shel Olam. So now God is able to see to the future of the world and how the world will continue to go on. Im L'chaim U'Lamaves, if for life or for death. L'mochama U'Lashalom, if it's for war or for peace. Kihu Bara Shemayim B'Tzivo Sehem Ha'aretz V'Chol Asher Haleah, because he created the world and everything that's on it and everything that's there. V'henicham ala teva asher himaleh, and he left this to go based on its natural destiny or predisposition. V'eich lo yeda'am, how will he not know that? V'chein ha'derech ha'ro'i lefi tivo shel adam v'chanaso v'todasav, and the same is true not just with the world but with people in general, that they go based on their nature and based on how they were born and raised as well as their natural predispositions. Lo ne'el mimenu davar, God can see all of that. Aval natan habechira biyad ha'adam limshol al hakol, and he gave us the ability to overcome and to be able to control all of these predestinations. Levatel hachanato levifol kenegda, in order to get rid of the, or again, overcome, to go against what they were predestined to do. And in order to prevent all of the bad things that would have happened if things were just left on their own. And this is what Chazal say, everything's in the hands of Hashem except for the fear of heaven. And he continues here, I will give you a parable. It's there in Yan HaNichbar Hazeh, to give you a full picture of what's going on. Adam echad yesh lo shnei banim. A person has two children. Ha'echad tzadik v'chacham v'asheni rasha. One is righteous and smart, and the second is wicked. V'yesh lefanav sefer v'sayif. He has to give to them one a book and one a sword. V'amar zeh yikach ha'sefer v'zeh yikach ha'sayif. He says this one should take the book, the righteous, and the tzaddik one, the smart one, should take the sefer, and the other one should take the sword. The fact that the father knows this and understands them doesn't force them to be that way. It's just based on what he knows. Even though God knows what's going to happen, it does not force a person to do that. He gives us free will, and that's how he created the world. And this is what Rabbi Akiva says, that everything is foreseen, and we have choice. We have room, distinction between what God knows and what we can do, and there's room for both of those to coexist. Umilat safui hodianu inyan haydia kmo sheperashti. Safui teaches us about the fact that God can know about these things. Vizek ka'omer b'migdal gavo, and here it gives a parable that I think is going to help us understand exactly what he's saying. If somebody's standing on a tower, v'tzofe haba'im la'ir, and he's looking at the people who are coming into the city, lo yachricham lavo, he can't force them to come in. Aval mitzad Yosef makom gavo, from the fact that he has a vantage point that's high up in the sky, yodea ki hem asidim lavo, he knows that they're going to come. Im lo yishtanu b'me sheyesh b'libam, unless they change their minds, and the choice is within those who they can turn back. That doesn't happen very often. And he says that's what David is talking about, the story in Navi that brings out this point. But the Yavetz's general big point seems to be that it seems like he's indicating that God doesn't know everything per se, that God sets up the system in a way that people generally follow how they would go naturally, but then we have the ability to change that direction. And it seems like he's saying that God wouldn't know that, right? If God is this, if the mashal is taken explicitly, and this is what he means, if God is this person standing on the tower seeing that people are coming, he can predict that most people are going to go through, but yeah, he doesn't know if somebody's going to decide to turn back and go the other direction. So the Yavetz seems to be limiting to some extent what amount God can foresee in the future. In a similar vein, although taking a different approach, source number 7, the Lachmei Toda of Zvi Hirsch ben Pinchas Horowitz in the 19th century tells us that he distinguishes between different things. He says that God can foresee the machshava, but he cannot foresee the action that we perform. So the bechira that we have is with the action, but there's some level of divine knowledge beforehand in terms of the ability to see what we are thinking, but the action is completely in our hands. And there's, as I alluded to before, there is a whole spectrum of people, of philosophers within the Jewish realm who do limit divine foreknowledge to some extent, and here seem to be two indications of a slightly limited form, that God does leave us some level of bechira, that perhaps he doesn't foresee exactly what we're going to be doing in the future. And for those who are interested in looking more into this topic, I once again recommend Rabbi Wiederblank's book on free will, Illuminating Jewish Thought, where he gives you the broad opinions of various different people within Jewish philosophy. The final source that we want to cover for the discussion of Hakol Tzafui Varishos Nesuna is suggested by the Medrash Shmuel. After he goes on this whole discussion, like we quoted him before, discussing free will versus divine foreknowledge, he gives an alternative explanation which bypasses the whole discussion. And if you remember from the Mishnah just says Hakol Tzafui, everything is seen. There's no indication explicitly that that's referencing God's knowledge. And instead, the Medrash Shmuel says that the whole idea is human in nature. God doesn't enter this picture, and it is the people who see, quote-unquote, the future. But he's not talking about being able to be a fortune teller, but rather in terms of the ability for us to make decisions. So let's read this inside, source number 8. V'afshar od l'farish ha'amar ha'kol tzafoi, kolomar ein la'adam hit natzlus klal liyom hadin, lomar shlo yada eza derech yishgon or lihisnaig bo. Nobody can get to the day of judgment and say, oh, I didn't really know what was going on. I didn't know what to choose. I didn't know what the right path was and what the wrong path was. And that's why I wasn't sure what to do. And that's why I messed up. Ki hakol tzafui lifnei ha'adam. Everything is the road is paved clearly for you. Kamo she'amar ha'kasuf, as we see in the pasuk, re'ein asati lefanecha hayom es ha'chaim ves ha'tov ves ha'mavis ves ha'ra. Ki ha'torah mor lo'adam es ha'derech yilech ba ves ha'maisa asher ya'aseh. Because the Torah spells out everything explicitly that we're supposed to be doing. L'zeh samach ma'imar zeh l'ma'imar chavivin Yisrael she'nasen lem kli chemda. And now the Medrash Shmuel connects it to Rabbi Akiva's previous statement from the last Mishnah that the Jews are beloved because they received the Torah. So the connection is that the fact that we receive the Torah makes us beloved because it now becomes clear to us what direction we should choose. So Hakol Tzafui is that for human beings, Hakol Tzafui, everything is obvious, everything is apparent, the path that we should choose is clear, and we can't use that as an excuse later on. So that ends part one, discussion about Kol Tzafui Varashus Nesuna. Briefly, we want to discuss the last two clauses of the Mishnah, uvituv ha'olam nidon v'kol lefi rov ha'ma'aseh, that the world is judged in goodness, we'll see what that means, and everything is according to actions, or the abundance of deeds, and we'll see what that means as well. So starting off with Rashi in source number 9, Rashi says, vituv ha'olam nidon b'midas rachamim, that the world is judged Bituv, meaning with compassion, with mercy. God doesn't treat us specifically with just justice. There's a tuv element involved as well. And Rashi elaborates in the second clause about kol lefi rov ha'maaseh, lefi rov ma'asav shel adam hu nidon im rov zechuyos zakai v'im rov avonos chayav. So that rov ha'maaseh means the majority of actions, so that we are judged based on a majority. If we're 51% good stuff, then that's a judgment of good, and 51 bad, that's a judgment of bad. And then it continues that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Holech Achar Rov Maaseim Shel Adam Shehin Mosifin V'Chotim V'Chol Yom El L'Tovo Hu Dan Es HaOlam Shelo L'Achrivo Mikol Makom Maaseim Genuzim L'Yom Adim. It gives an alternative explanation that says that combines the two, that God judges us favorably to some extent in this world, in the sense that if he did judge us based on a majority, then we would probably be judged poorly, because most of us, Rashi says, at least the world in general, is mostly bad. So therefore, God lets us off the hook to some extent in this world, but we will pay for that in the next world. So pretty glim view of human nature and the consequences that will be coming in the future, but the positive side of this, if you will, in the Tuv Ha'olam Nidon, is that we get a small pass in this world, otherwise we wouldn't be able to survive. We're going to skip source number 10, Rabbeinu Yonah. He goes somewhere along the lines of what Rashi is saying with a little bit more elaboration and slightly different directions in a few places, but we're going to skip to source 12, and that's a Tiferes Yisrael. So Tiferes Yisrael explains that Hakol Lefi Rov HaMaaseh, everything is based on the action. He says that we're going to look at a quality perspective instead of a quantity, and he's going to give us four different ways that an action can be judged, and that the four factors will contribute to how great of an action this is. So let's read this inside. So nearly the rotsa lomar lafi godel hamaisa ba'atzma dahainu ha'ofen shena sesbo v'lo lafi riboy hama'asim. It is based on the quality and not the quantity. V'godel hamasa nishkol lafi teva ha'poala ose. So how do we calculate the greatness of an action? So number one, it has to do with the person who's doing its nature. Dahainu kifima shahayat tzarech lichbosh yitzro tfei. The more you have to overcome your nature, the more, the greater of an action that would be. And the example is the kamsan shenatan tzedakah kabel schar yoter mipazran. So if I'm somebody who's cheap and thrifty, and I don't spend a lot of money, and I give that money that I don't spend that often to tzedakah, so that has a greater quality to it than somebody who spends on everything and buys whatever they want, and so they give tzedakah, that's good, but it's not as great as the person who had to overcome his nature to give that tzedakah. And then he quotes a pasuk, and then we're going to skip two lines, and then he says, number two is Lefi machshavas hapoel. The second factor is the thought process or the motivation that I had when doing the action. Dilemashal echad asat tzedakah lehisba'er. If somebody does give tzedakah in order to become glorified through it, v'sheni asa v'kamenas l'shem shemayim. And the second person does it for the sake of heaven. Ulefi mikra shalod. L'shem shemayim. So that then my motivation determines how great of an action is. The more l'shem shemayim, the better. The more self-gratification and the fact that I want this to be good for me, the less great the action is because of the motivation. And the third factor that contributes to the quality is l'fi mikra shelo, to the mashal. So this is based on your environmental context. D'lamashal asher shenasan harbet tzedakah lo l'fi osro. If somebody who is very rich, they give a lot of tzedakah, but percentage-wise or relatively speaking, it's not that much compared to their growth, their gross wealth. So that's not good. But the second guy, shenasan pruta la'ani b'shas dochak azman, the guy who's poor but still gives money, even if it's a small amount, to tzedakah, mikabel schar. And he gets the reward. So the environmental context is going to impact the quality as well. And then finally, the fourth factor is l'fi ha-pa'ul, de'echad nasan staka l'ani hagun, based on the fact that depends on the outcome of what you did. If you give money to a ani who is worthy of that money, mekabel schar tfei, milu nasan l'ani she'eno hagun, you get more schar than somebody giving to somebody who isn't deserving of that money. Ukedome harbe binyanim elu, and there are other factors as well. We just enumerated four, and just to review the four, that is the number one is to overcome my teva, my nature, that impacts the quality. Number two is my motivation, my mindset. Number three is my environmental context, and number four is the impact that my actions have. And all those things are put together to judge the quality of the action, and the Tiferes Yisrael finishes off with saying, "V'davar zeh efshalios nishkal rak aydei HaKadosh Baruch Hu." God is the only one who can possibly put all these factors together to decide how much reward somebody gets. And this is a lesson that, in addition to the fact that quality is important, that we shouldn't judge others or even ourselves. We should just try to do the best we can. But the actual judging, being able to figure out all these details and these nuances to get to the quality of what was done, can only be done through God. Now, if we take a step backwards to source number 11, we'll see the Rambam takes what seems to be an alternative or a different approach. Obviously, the Rambam came before the Tiferes Yisrael, and the Tiferes Yisrael might actually be responding to the Rambam, but the Rambam says almost the opposite, is that the Fi Rov HaMasa isn't about the quality, rather it's about the quantity. Here's the Rambam in the Parash of Mishnayos here. It's a very famous Rambam. He says as follows. We'll read it inside. Archakach amar shamaylos lo yusku lefi shir gadol hamaisa. That when it comes to properly inculcating traits within us, character within us, it is not based on the quality necessarily of the action. Elo lefi rov mispar hamaase. It is about the quantity. V'zeh shamaylos amdam yusku b'chvol maisa to pa'amim rabos. In order to get this character, in order to create a habit, if you will, v'zeh yusaga kinyan, in order to acquire this trait, one needs to do repetitive actions over and over and over again. Lo b'shiyase adam ma'aseh echad gadol mima'aseh atov. It's not about doing one big thing. Shebezeh levado yusag kinyan. That might be good. The Rambam is not against quality, but through quality, you don't necessarily get the character, and the Rambam was about this virtue ethic, the ability to inculcate character. Then he gives a mashal. Mashal zeh she'adam im yitein l'mish roi elav dinar pam achas l'ish echad l'tusag l'maylas ha'nedivus b'zeh ha'maysa echad gadol. You give $1,000 to one person at one time, that might be a nice mitzvah, it might be great, but it's not going to inculcate the trait of magnanimity. Kamosha tusag l'mish yis nadev elav pa'amim be'elav dinar. Rather, you know, if you give 1,000 times, then that 1,000 times is going to help inculcate the trait as well, and that's what the goal is. And the Rambam finishes off. We're skipping a few lines, and he says, "Zeh inyan amru lefi rov hamase, aval lo al pi hamase." It is based on the abundance, the repetition of actions, not about the actions themselves. We'll finish off, even though we didn't get to this in the shir, since we have a few more minutes now, doing this after this year. We'll read source number 13 as the Sforno brings an interesting perspective here. He says, Va'amar va'kol kefi rov ha-ma'aseh. Everything is based on the rov ha-ma'aseh. Shekol inyon ha-gmul va'onesh eino taloi b'chelik ha-yuni va'ha-nikne. So the Sforno says that any type of reward and punishment is not dependent on intellect. It's not dependent on philosophizing. It's not dependent on thinking. Aval b'chelek kama'asi. It is all dependent on actions. V'zeki amnam hiyos ha-seichal henoshi ha-kochachi yikneo adam bo'tzio ha-sichlo ha-kochi min ha-koach al ha-poal. Because even though thought, intellect is important, and the way to concretize that is by bringing it from the koach to the poel, bring it into action, not just from potential, but into concretization through actions. Ki biyoso maskil b'poel ye bal chiyus sichli b'poel asher hu nitzchi. So you're able to bring about this intellect into something that's permanent through the action. Nichbad mikol shar minechayim, and that's what makes us very beloved and respectable amongst other creatures. V'yachsak ze achios v'yichlosh kefi madrega se yona kinui. M'ishu ze achios ha-sichli v'atzlachaso v'simchaso v'odo. O'hefech o'ze yeh kefi rov ha-ma'ase ha-tov ha-ratzu lifnei Adon Hashem Yisparach. Ki vo yudah ma'aseicha b'chiri l'varo ha-meitiv l'zulas. Kasher bir ba'amar b'tzalmenu kidmusenu. Sforno seems to be de-emphasizing intellect on its own, and rather that intellect has to be tied and, more importantly, concretized through action. And it is through that action, this Sforno tells us, that reward and punishment is given. As I finished up this year in real time, I pointed out that we talked about a lot of deep and philosophical issues, and none of them are particularly something that we should take away and say, okay, this is the right answer, this is the wrong answer, I understand this, I'm going to follow this. There's a lot of opinions out there, and I think for now, this is meant to be a taste for people to be able to continue to learn and to look at other things, look how these things are presented in other contexts, and then just at the end of the day, maybe we'll get a picture as to the complexity of the issues rather than necessarily clarity as to this is the definitive answer to all of these questions. As you can see from the abundance of opinions, that there is a spectrum of possibilities in how to understand these complex issues. The main idea, perhaps, instead of getting lost in all of this philosophical discussion, is to focus on those like the Sforno we just read, as well as the Medrash Shmuel that we read at the end of part one, that at the end of the day, whether God knows, doesn't know every single detail, knows every single detail, our job is to follow the Torah, do mitzvos, do as many good deeds as possible, whether or not that's quality or quantity or both, trying to find a balance together. The basic idea is that we need to try our best to continue to do Torah and mitzvos.